Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Hazen from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
We are, I guess so. It's Hallows Eve.
Coming off of, well, as we are listening and people listening to the show, we're coming off a pretty big day.
Today?
Yesterday.
What was yesterday?
Wasn't it the cornhole tournament?
Oh, if we're
okay. Talking about it.
You're so talking into the future.
Talking into the
today
future.
Today is Hallows Eve.
It is Halloween.
Halloween.
Hallows Eve. There you go. You're right.
And yesterday was our sponsorship party for the cornhole.
Yep.
I thought that's what you were talking about. You threw
no,
me.
No, I
that
did
was Monday
you.
Night.
That was
we're
Monday.
Recording this on Tuesday. If you didn't know, Halloween 2023 is on Tuesday. and that's in the past tense because you're listening to it on Sunday, maybe right. November the 4th.
November the
4th. Right. Do my math. That was some fast math. Goodness gracious.
It's actually November 5th is a Sunday, but November 4th is a cornhole tournament. Well, so that's why.
Right, TJ? Yeah, it is.
We know that.
We've been saying
we've
that.
We've said it wrong like 14 times.
I did bad math again.
It's okay. We also had, last night, we had a gala that we went to.
Stop talking in future tense. Yeah, so,
I got
so
you
Saturday, yesterday is the cornhole tournament.
That's right.
15th annual Pitching for Wishes.
Yep.
And in conjunction with Harris Teeter as our premier partner, they did two tournaments this year. We're really on Tuesday before the tournament. We're really close to a total raise for Make-A-Wish of Central and Western North Carolina. We're right under $300,000.
Wow, that's
raised
crazy.
To give to Make-A-Wish. Not gross, net. So, which is really awesome. Harris Teeter stepped it up, doubled down this year. I mean, really came through. And our sponsors have really came through. And Christian McCall is the boss. She's the bomb. She cut me off last night on Monday. We're changing days around here.
She gave you the hook?
She gave me the hook.
I didn't know you got the hook.
She said, get out of here. You're late.
I didn't know you got the hook. I thought you were telling the story.
And Skufka said, I like her. She does her job. I want people to do their job. I said, ooh, it's all perspective, right? Nah, I'm kidding. I like her too. I'm very proud of her. She did really good. And I said this last night at our sponsorship party. It's really cool. It's our biggest year of sponsors. And that just all happened. I think the flywheel is spinning. There's some momentum in year 15. It's the business community in Charlotte and our Roby family network is just very giving and wants to give back. And that was always our goal, to build a platform where people can use it to give in the way they want to give. So it's good to see these businesses be partners.
Well, I like how you worked in the flywheel there, too. That was good. That was good. We got AJ Klink, who I've met for the first time at a Jim Collins event in Chicago. I know
like
you all have known each
ago.
Other.
Yep.
And we
He's
also
a fellow YPOer.
Had some EOS offsites these last couple
of
weeks.
And AJ, Robert Fish is our implementer, I think is what they call that role. And AJ is a client. As well, right?
Of Roberts.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I didn't want to say. So, some people are just friends of Roberts. EO friends, or you know. Robert is awesome. We've been with Robert for a couple of days doing our annual planning.
That's right.
That
two
was
year offsite.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about a haul.
Two full days.
Oh, good. Yeah. Let's go economy. No, it was good. It's a good time. Patrick, Dave McGuire, Travis, my brother, David Baird, our CFO, and Tiffany.
Right.
Runs HR. Tiffany Williams is awesome. Get us all together, and we don't really all get together that often. So it's really good to get everybody together and talk shop. Robert leads it. He's excellent. And he likes to ride bicycles.
He does. He's been on the show, too. We've had him on here if you want to go back
check
and
it
learn
out.
A word
Robert
about Robert.
Fish.
Yeah.
He swims fast. No, I'm kidding. So today is really cold. I'm cold. I got a flannel undershirt. I got a flannel shirt. I got a jacket, and I'm cold. And my three daughters tonight for Halloween are going to be boxers. So they have short boxing shorts on and a tank top. I can't imagine how cold they're going to be.
I mean,
it's supposed to be like 42 degrees at 7 o'clock.
We missed the good weather by 24 hours. I mean, if last night was tonight, I mean, it was perfect last night.
It was perfect.
It was almost warm.
I'm excited about it getting chilly.
You are? You want to set some fires out there?
I'm ready
to
have some fires.
I got you.
Every night. I've been chopping wood leading up to this event. Oh, yes. I'm so excited, man.
I hear you.
The fall is exciting, and I'm out there chopping wood for like 3 hours. I'm like, man, I'm going to burn all this in an hour. I don't know if that's a good return on your time, but it is when it helps your mind, you know?
Chopping woods, there's something too. We talked about that before, yeah.
It's good.
Makes you feel good. Like you do it.
Reagan
you
said, I thought
something.
You were getting a wood splitter. I said, well, then I wouldn't be chopping.
You just hit the button.
It's actually, using a wood splitter is pretty tough too, because you got big logs and you're moving them around and you're throwing pieces. You get some good exercise there too. But the girls, Piper and Rowan, are trying out for basketball this week. So hopefully by the time you hear this show, they're both on a school basketball team.
Let's go,
girls. Been balling it up with them outside. Hadn't let them know Daddy still got some game. I don't know if they agree. Piper says, I play unfair. Everything I do is unfair.
What
her angst is from?
Are you old man backing them in and just doing like a turnaround jump shot?
No,
right?
I'm crossing up through the legs.
You're doing
a three
ball?
Three-pointer on.
I might want to see
me
that.
Me and Ford beat all three girls.
You still got that crook gold, or did you get that thing fixed?
Nah, I fixed it.
You fixed it?
Yeah, from where the
Amazon
guy backed into our basketball goal. My wife's got cameras everywhere. Do not sneak around my house because she will catch your butt. All right, you ready?
Yeah,
AJ
man.
Clink, when we return, we're going to talk some business, some shop.
I'm excited.
Maybe talk even a little flywheel.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to At Home with Roby. Happy woo-hoo-hoo, Halloween.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. If you missed the first segment, go back, check it out. Podcast us, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media channels. We are hooked up.
They call it in the house.
In the house.
We in the game. That's what I like to say. I don't realize I say it that much until all my friends start saying it back to me.
Well, you would you say in the game?
In the game.
You
we
do,
in the game.
You do say
I didn't realize. Like, did I say that 8,000 times last week?
I think like on a round of golf, there could be an over-under bet on how many times you say that. I would say like 10 or 11 would probably be a good figure, because every time you say it, it's usually like money's coming out of my pocket the other way because you did something good.
AJ, how you doing?
Y'all, phenomenal, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Yep. It's great. Tell us about your wood splitting journey, because you mentioned that in the break. We got on some wood chopping earlier.
Well, I was surprised to hear you go there, to be honest. I haven't heard much talk about wood splitting since I've been down in the Carolinas. I grew up in southern Michigan, middle of probably 500 acres of woods. And, I mean, that's what you got to do. You know, we heated our house. We had a stone home, and we heated it with wood, huge wood fireplace right in the middle of the living room. And that was the chore. I mean, it was cold as heck, and, you know, snow – 2 feet tall, and that's what Dad had you do.
This is in Michigan,
yeah. Big old wood box in the living room. So we had a log splitter, but man, I tell you, when you're pushing that wheelbarrow as a kid, and there's 2 feet of snow each side,
that's why you're so strapping.
It tips over. That leads to about your most irate moment of the week. You know,
it'll teach you something about life, right?
It does.
I mean,
you got to pick that wood right back up, put it right back in the wheelbarrow,
man. You know how many wheelbarrows I've dumped? You know, it's really bad when I was pushing concrete in the wheelbarrow and it fell out. You can't really pick it back up as well.
You don't want that to happen.
Gotta be
quick. I pushed a lot of concrete wheelbarrows in my time.
You got to be quick.
So you heated your house with the wood-burning fireplace in the center.
That's right. Yep.
And it was a stone house, so would the stones kind of get warm?
It would insulate it. So they ironically call my house a castle in the region where I grew up. It was about 100 feet tall, and it was 7 stories tall, and it would literally look like a castle.
What?
So I grew up in a pretty unique situation.
Whoa.
So a tower where you had a spiral staircase that went up. And my room was on the second story. My brother's was on the third. We had the bunk bedroom. It was a very unique place to grow up. But, yeah, I mean, We were living in the woods, man.
Did your dad build this castle?
Oh, heck no. No, there was some famous castle builder from Germany that moved to the States and wanted to build a castle.
No way.
That's pretty crazy. So we rappelled down it as kids. He bought us rappelling gear, and you know, we climbed it and climbed down
it. Dude, I have to tell you, in 8.5 years, you're the first person on the At Home Roby Show that grew up in a castle.
Yeah, it's different for sure, and that's it's creating
crazy.
An odd duck. Yeah.
So would the heat rise in the castle, like get warm up?
Well, you'd want to keep the door to the tower closed because you would lose all your heat, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So you tried to stay in the main rooms, you know, the main two levels. For that reason, so all the heat didn't escape, but yeah.
And how many siblings do you have?
I have one brother. Yeah, he's 2 years younger than me.
Where's he at?
He's in Nash, Vegas. Yeah,
he
runs one of my real estate company's offices in Nashville.
Okay, cool.
So we both got out of Michigan.
I hear you.
That's really cool.
So how did you get out of Michigan?
So I went to University of Michigan. All of my buddies went to Chicago, New York, or L.A., and I grew up vacationing in Murrells Inlet every summer with my family and just fell in love with the Southeast, and they all followed jobs to their next stop after college, and I wanted to follow more of a lifestyle, follow the warm weather and friendly people and, you know, easier living. Just packed up the car and drove on down.
So what did you study at Michigan?
So my degree was biopsychology and cognitive science, bachelor of science. So just some interesting.
You're really smart.
So. It's interesting to me. I actually had to apply 4 times to get into Michigan. So I went to 4 universities on my journey to finally get admitted to Michigan.
Wow. Yeah. Talking about some diligence.
Yeah, you just got to power through, man.
I heard that. So you studied science.
Yep.
And then now you're in the real estate industry.
The real estate, yeah, entrepreneurship type endeavors. Yeah.
You're an entrepreneur.
More or less.
So you decided, hey, I've been going to Murrells Inlet my whole life. My mom has a house at Surfside.
Nice.
Okay, which is right there, 2 beaches up. And how did you decide I'm moving to Charlotte?
I love Charlotte. It's a great city. It was between Charlotte and Atlanta, and I didn't know a ton about either, other than I heard some bad things about the traffic in Atlanta. And like I said, I've been kind of traveling through Charlotte my whole life, and it's been a phenomenal place to be since about 2007.
Do you still go to Murrells Inlet?
I haven't been in a while.
Shame on you. Yeah, Where's your southern roots?
I hit all the beaches, but I just haven't been to Murrells Inlet lately.
So 2007 is when you got to Charlotte?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome.
I hear you.
It's good.
So, you're married, right?
I have a wife who, her name's Caitlin. I met her. She's from Connecticut. I came down. One of the big reasons I moved to Charlotte, too, was I was looking for a southern belle. I had this vision of this blonde hair, like blue eyes, like.
It's coming out.
Yeah, this might come off wrong, but like a great cook, you know, great cleaner, like somebody great for the kids. And I found a girl. I found a Yankee from Connecticut of all places. Totally backfired, but she's great. She's exactly what I envisioned. I got 2 boys, 7, yep. 2, 7, 7 and 4.
Yep.
2 Hellraisers.
That's cool. I want them to come out to the river, hang out with my 2 boys. I got 8 and 3.
Oh man, yeah, they'd run wild.
And they raise a ruckus too now.
Yeah.
Somebody I was talking to Peter Hollett the other day, he's like, oh, he said, heard my 3-year-old in the background. He's like, I bet he's a mess. So I'm like, why would you say that?
That's funny.
Okay. So you moved to Charlotte. Yep. Did you know what you were gonna do when you moved to Charlotte? Were you looking for a wife?
I was looking for a wife, I was looking for a job. Yeah. Took the first sales job I could find and took me 6 months to realize I didn't want to be where my boss was, and I didn't want to work for somebody. And so I was pulled out a bunch of books. What's the fastest way to become a self-made millionaire? And it was at that point, it was real estate.
I read a lot of those books.
Yeah, so that led me straight to real estate and get rich quick seminars and real estate license, loan officer's license, all that stuff.
Did you go to those real estate seminars?
I went to one of them. Yeah, his name was Russ Whitney. He's a big old mustache and yeah, I dragged my dad and my brother to it. They thought I was crazy. That was about all the money I had.
I went to a couple while I was in college at Chapel Hill, and my dad would always mock me. He's like, "You going to another one of those seminars?"
Yeah.
So, hey, you learn some things. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but some people.
What did you sell when you got here? I mean, initially, like, what kind of products were you? What industry?
So my first role was selling technology solutions for manufacturing companies and staffing solutions, all related to hiring and staff procurement. but it was not interesting to me at all.
So you got into real estate, mm-hmm. you got your license, mm-hmm. and then what were you selling there or leasing?
So this is the middle of the recession, so nobody was hiring. I had no interest in being in residential. I mean, the real goal that has driven me to real estate and the whole self-made millionaire comment was I built a school in Bolivia in high school, and I told myself that in a rural village, and the founder of this NGO called Build On has become a very close friend. He went to my high school. So that's what I want to do with my life. I want to build 1,500 schools around the world. I've probably done 6 or 7 of them now. And so wow. by getting into real estate, that would hopefully afford me the opportunity to then focus on the third world travel and building more schools and retire from, you know, the money-making ventures.
I hear you.
So that's always been the path. And so I thought, you know, commercial real estate was where I needed to head. And, started a couple little small companies and eventually
wow.
an apartment brokerage, which was sort of my first one to take off.
So tell us about your apartment brokerage.
Sure. So it's called Capstone Companies. We've grown it, me and two partners here in Charlotte, Brian and Bo. We're growing it out of Brian's condo to now be the largest privately owned apartment brokerage in the country. So we sold about $5 billion of real estate last year. Got 20 offices and 130 employees.
130 employees sold $5 billion in real estate transactions last year. Apartments.
Yep, that's right. Apartments and land.
And you started out of an apartment.
Started out of an apartment.
Wow, yeah, that's cool. Right.
Back to back making phone calls.
What year did y'all start it?
2008.
Grit.
Yeah,
that is true grit.
100%.
Right at the financial crisis.
So now, and you develop apartments and stuff of that nature, correct?
Exactly. So continued to own Capstone, went out and started a development and investment company called Catalyst Capital.
Really?
That was 2019.
Dang, man, so. This guy's got some drive. You make me feel puny.
I know.
Yeah, right.
AJ, will you hang out with us and continue this conversation?
Let's do it.
Happy Halloween. I know you're in the past here, listener, but you're listening to At Home with Roby. We got AJ Klink, Catalyst, Capstone, and much, much more when we return.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, go back. Having all kinds of fun here. We have AJ Klink, unbelievable entrepreneurial story that we've heard so far, Trent.
We hadn't even got into the grit.
There's some other stuff out there, too. Starting school, started a school in Bolivia in high school.
Grew up in a castle, just showed
yeah.
it and sent me a link.
That's really
Helmer
cool.
Helmer Castle, check it out.
Jackson,
it is
Michigan,
really
baby.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Truly yeah. a stone house, a mm-hmm. castle. That is awesome. Likes to chop wood, man. Maybe you just come over, sip on a couple of brewskis, and chop some wood.
Let's
put
do
some
it.
Firewood.
That's all I need in my life.
There you go. Beer and wood.
I mean, I like my dad
great.
Was a carpenter. I love having hammers. I really like a Wonder Bar. I keep a Wonder Bar in my truck under my seat.
Yep.
But I love a maul. Mm-hmm. I mean.
A good machete, too, go a long ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I need all those tools, you know. So so you and your two buddies started Catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
Brokerage apartments
mm-hmm.
in the apartment
mm-hmm.
in 07.
That's right.
Am I going to keep saying this right?
We're close enough.
And then Capstone is your development.
You got them flipped. So Capstone's
oh, okay,
the brokerage,
me.
Catalyst
See,
is the
correct
development.
Me. That's yeah. why I was asking. I was looking into your eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Capstone is the brokerage company. Catalyst is the development company. You got
yes.
on the Catalyst Capital Partner shirt.
Mm.
So tell us about that.
We're just trying to go out there and have fun and do the best we can and bring a bunch of great investment opportunities to our clients, build something that we're proud of, build a company that has a great culture and has, you know.
So is it the same two partners as in Capstone?
Same two partners.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
And I've gotten to know Bo pretty good. Really mm-hmm. nice guy, Bo McIntosh. So what do you like to develop?
So we're developing multifamily across the southeast, wood frame, surface park, multifamily, you know, 200 to 300 units. We got probably 6 or 8 under construction or owned in various stages. Just started the company beginning in 2019.
Okay.
Build a lot of build-to-rent communities. We buy build-to-rent communities from builders. We do active adult. We have built an active adult brand for 55 and over.
Yeah.
Do some horizontal land development. So just try to be pretty opportunistic and flexible.
We're recording here at WBT on West Moorhead Street,
right.
across from the Roby family of company headquarters, 2000 West Moorhead. If you don't know where our address is, come visit. But you're building a project up at the corner
right
of Berry Hill
yep.
and Wilkeson.
That's right, called the Bowery.
The Bowery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 3/4 of the way done. Am I right about that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Stick frame, surface
park. Stick frame, some townhomes, some conventional units. That was an opportunity zone deal.
Yep.
So provided opportunity for investors to invest, you know, in the OZ fund and save some taxes as well.
That's cool. Yeah, we've talked a little bit about that on the show.
That's right.
You roll capital gains into the development improvement in this area, and you defer your current capital gain taxes for several till 2026, I think.
Yep.
And then if you hold it for 10 years, then you get the exit. And not pay any taxes on your profit.
On the
gains. Right about all
that's
this?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's a
that's
pretty
cool.
Nice program.
I didn't realize that was an OZ project. That is neat. So 2019 is a great time to get an apartment development business.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, right? So COVID was good for apartments, and apartments are really good because we're underhoused in the Southeast with all the migration. I don't think there's enough doors. These people need a place to live.
That's right.
And now, I would think, I mean, it's a two-edged sword with interest rates rising. I mean, it makes it tougher to get development deals done. But on the other side of the coin, it makes it tougher for homeowners to buy houses, so they need apartments.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So it improves the demand side of the apartment industry.
100%. Yeah, it's what we're going to see is a lot more demand than there is supply in the coming years. And I always feel bad for folks who are just trying to get that entry-level apartment. You know, not something that we're building. We're building A-class apartments, but I'm talking like, you know, the older vintage properties, the lower rent properties, because unfortunately those rents, everything follows the supply and demand, and you're going to see another big run-up in rents. It's inevitable. It's just what happened during COVID, and it's a shame. Yeah, the affordable housing crisis is a real thing, and we need to improve as many housing units as we can.
I agree. Clay Grubb's a good friend of mine, talks a lot about that. He's been on the radio show before, and actually even trying to do stuff with no parking to improve the rent rate, right? A lot of opinions on that, but also a lot of – you look in these bigger cities, and they don't have parking.
Yep.
So
in the right urban areas.
But Charlotte's more of a car city, a vehicle city. There's something else you do as well. I mean, I'm sure you got other things, but you're in the restaurant business as well, right? Hospitality business.
Got into the restaurant business. I like building things. Owned a property in Noda that would have made a great restaurant, and I decided just to do what everybody told me not to do, which was start a restaurant. So I built a team around that, two great partners, Chris Coleman and Sean Potter. And Chris has been all over, you know, beat Bobby Flay and all over Food Network shows. And Sean, my other partner on the ops side, has opened 10 or 15 STKs around the country. Just great. It's similar. Just great cultural fit. So we've gone out. We've got, I think, four restaurant businesses now. And a year from now, we'll probably have close to double that with what we've got in our pipeline. So it's fun building a culture, building a team, helping people reach their dreams. Those guys, my partners and other
key employees.
So how
did you meet those two guys?
I just tried to meet just about everybody I could in the business in Charlotte, and those are the best that I could find, and just we really hit it off.
So one's the creative side, the chef side, the food side, and the other one's the ops guy.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly, yeah. Ops and numbers guy. Yeah.
You're a team builder.
When you and I first met, we met at an STK in Chicago, really for the first time I had a conversation with you. Did he develop that STK?
Do you know? I'm not sure if he did Chicago. He did a bunch of them. Vegas, Miami, meatpacking district.
Just a coincidence?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I probably had to feel pretty good to text him, this is where we're at.
It's interesting, you know, depending on the path you take with your career, you specialize, right? And I haven't found many folks that are around my age, 40 years old or so, that have specialized in the hospitality industry, but really grown to high levels. And so it's cool to help them. Lots of times you get burnout and you go to a different industry as, you know, a front of house or back of house leader, but they were able to continue doing what they want to do, and they're super creative. And the most important part with our business built on hospitality is how people really truly like working with them and for them because of the leaders they are and because of you know, how great a people they are. And so retention for us is no problem at all. And
really?
Recruiting is no problem, and everybody's growing together. So it's pretty cool to be a part of.
Well, give a couple plugs on your restaurants.
So we got Goodyear House in Noda. It's absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that like award-winning?
It's won a lot of my awards. Yeah, it's won a lot of my awards. But no, hear rave
so
reviews.
Humble.
Yeah, hear rave reviews from folks who have been there from all over. Old Town Kitchen and Cocktails in downtown Rock Hill, Haymaker in Uptown Charlotte.
Yep.
And yeah, a couple. We got a cocktail bar to the right of Goodyear House under construction with a famous mixologist named Bob Peters, who we brought onto our hospitality company. Yeah, a couple more in the works.
That is cool. I mean, you're scaling this, which gives you diversity of the restaurant industry, the hospitality mm-hmm. industry, gives you some protection, I would think, and also gives you some buying power and such.
Yeah, exactly.
You see, people have one restaurant. Well, if something changes the dynamic, then they're not hedged any other way, and
100%.
They're not able to have like a family consortium of thought, you know.
Kind of like what you've done, right?
Yeah, that's very similar. So, theoretically, at every piece you add to the puzzle, another restaurant or another division for us or another office, the overhead doesn't have to increase per
yep.
rata.
At the same amount.
In theory.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
And you got to be careful because you can get ahead of yourself and get a little healthy.
It's all in the numbers, man. It's all about maintaining the costs where they need. That's the toughest part of this business, is just having an eye on the costs every single day, every single week. And that's what a lot of folks fail at, but that's the lifeblood of a successful
hospitality
business.
Input product costs, food costs, or is it
it's
human
all that.
Costs?
It's all
rent.
It's all of it for sure. But it's controlling the controllables, right? With any business. But if you're putting, you know, if you're putting a meal on a plate, every portion needs to be sized very exactly. You need to know exactly how many cents that portion costs, and you need to price your menu item exactly based on that and based on what kind of, percent cost margin you're trying to achieve. And it's really not brain science. You just have to be diligent about it, and you can't take a week off because you lose your money. That's where you lose your money and your expenses.
Really? What do you think about that, Patty?
Very much true. I mean, that's exactly right. We deal with the same thing in the construction world.
I mean, we were talking about it. What were we talking about yesterday with fish? You shave one. What was the ratio?
I'm not sure.
And like how it's teaching our people if they can be efficient 1 ounce is how much revenue you have if you're making a 10% margin or a 5%
mm-hmm.
margin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
To make
it up.
$100, but you can also be efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about if you're a 10% profit company and you have an 8-hour workday, your associate does. I mean, think about how many minutes are actual profits. If you waste 40 minutes, there goes any profitability off that workday. I think that's kind of, is that what you're talking about?
I was trying to tee you up to explain that. Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome.
AJ, we've been talking about the Cornhole Tournament on the last segment. This is our first show after the Cornhole Tournament. You're in the studio. Will you stick around with us, do one more segment?
Please.
Yeah, this is cool.
Right. AJ Klink, you listen to At Home with Roby. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hazen from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Go back if you haven't heard the first 3 segments. We have some pretty – AJ's got some pretty cool stories.
I mean, really.
Man.
Man's got it going on.
Likes
it's
to build. Likes to build things. I think
he
that's really cool.
He does like to build things. Build a brokerage company.
Yep.
Build a development company. Build a hospitality company. He likes to build schools.
Right.
He's built 5 to 7 schools.
Mm-hmm. 5 of them.
With the goal of how many?
1,500.
1,500. So we're not talking about Make-A-Wish because we had our cornhole tournament. We are talking about Make-A-Wish.
Well,
I just talked about
yeah.
it. But we're not doing the wish story. So tell us about building these schools. I want to learn a little more about this
cool.
charitable endeavor.
So there's a nonprofit called Build On. You can look up, and their focus is on building schools, primary schools, elementary schools in rural communities of third world countries. And so with each development project that my company Catalyst does, we build a school. A school in Nicaragua costs about $35,000 to build. And the amazing part, my first school was actually in La Paz, Bolivia. But what I learned was if the village does not have a school, when parents have kids, they send their kids to the capital, to La Paz, because they think they can go and make some money for the family. Unfortunately, without an education, they just end up in the shanty towns and they end up homeless because they can't get a job. So by bringing education to these villages, you totally transform the trajectory of
absolutely.
That family, the kids, the community. And so I've just like it. I mean, who would have thought that you could spend $35,000 and put 75 kids in school?
That's nuts. Crazy.
It's insane. Yeah.
I mean, it's something. I mean, it's obviously something that's out there you think about or you're aware of, but being in America and growing up middle class, you don't think about these things. Mm-hmm. And you don't think about how fortunate we are. We complain about our public schools, you know, private schools and this and that and the politics of it. But these kids just get into school.
Usually it starts with a house, and then they need their church, and then the school's Amen. Next. And sometimes they just don't get to the school. They don't have the funds. They don't have a road to get to the village. And
it reminds me of we had Junior Bernard from Haiti on the show. You remember that? We had another group, Iwu, that was from Haiti. And it's the same deal. I mean, it's just like what we take for granted. They just want to go to school.
Yeah,
I mean,
Junior Bernard was a great show.
That was a really cool show.
AJ, look it up. He's on about 6 months ago.
Yeah, give or
awesome,
take.
Awesome, inspiring. So when you build a school, you build the bricks and mortar of building a school. And what is, do they have curriculum already set, or does the program have curriculum?
So the seven countries that they focus on provide the teachers and the curriculum for the long term, and Build On provides the labor and the cost for the materials. A neat thing just for anybody listening is, and I'm happy to make a connection, one of Build On's lead fundraisers is in Charlotte, but you can take your church organization. They have after school clubs, which is how I first got introduced, where the students, or you could take your company, Trent and Patrick, and you could take a group of 15 and live in the village for 3 nights. I'm doing Nicaragua again in February. It's like, what a life-changing experience for people. We did it for our hospitality company. We took people who had never been outside the country. They lived on the floor or on a, you know, crappy mattress in one of these huts in Nicaragua, ate the food from the villagers, had great interactions, sort of Q&A sessions. I mean, it became very emotional. And like you can imagine, we're so, so blessed here, and we don't show it and we don't appreciate it. Where you go there and these folks are making $2 a day and they're just the happiest people you've ever come across. So it really puts things in perspective.
We've done, our church has a partnership with Habitat for Humanity, and I've gone on 2 mission trips to El Salvador.
Oh, wow.
And we build housing.
Similar.
And the same thing, man. The community, you're there every day for 5 or 6 days. You eat with them. Mm-hmm. You work with them. And their spirit is what's so special.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll teach you something. That's the enjoyment. And it brings joy to them as well. Know people out here caring enough to come do this. That is awesome.
Yeah, everybody listening should do exactly what Trent's done. Find an opportunity. Put it on the calendar. It's something you think about, you could talk about. I took my dad for the first time. He was scared of going to Nicaragua, but he came out of it just loving it. So
yeah, they say the same thing about El Salvador, but hey, you feel safe when you're in these communities with these
folks.
Those
are poor countries.
So your goal is every project that y'all develop, you build a school.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And what did you say your big goal is? 500 BHAG?
It's my BHAG is 1,500 schools. Which if I do 1,500, when I do 1,500 schools, I'll have enough kids in school around the world to fill Michigan's football stadium, which is the largest stadium in the country, which is
Dang.
Where I went to school. So the visual, that's what keeps me going.
That is cool.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Man, what's the name of the charity?
Build On.
Build On. Check it out.
That's right.
Okay, AJ, I'm going to put you on the spot. What is one principle that you live by, work, life, family? Give it to me.
I don't think I could boil it down to one, but I would say one thing my dad taught me when I was young is you need to treat everybody equally, from the janitor to the homeless person to the person that's the CEO or a doctor. Hey, you need to treat everybody with the same level of respect and kindness, and it takes one of everybody. So,
well, man, you do that. I feel it. It resonates. Thank you. What a great story. Hey, listen, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Make people feel good. Thanks for listening to At Home with Roby.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.